that text and it tells us so succinctly what Jesus' purpose was, what his ministry was, what he came to do. So after Christmas and celebrating Jesus' birth, we're going to talk about the ministry of Jesus. Before I start, let me pray, if you'd bow with me. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would just empower me, and may your Spirit truly just take over my words, and not just my words, but may your Spirit be working in all our hearts to help to do that transforming power, just like I talked with the kids about. It's not a fairy that's going to come to us, but it's Jesus, and he does that work of helping us to truly be transformed into children of God, just like Galatians 4 was saying. So, Lord God, may that wonderful transforming work be happening right now, even as I preach, in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, and great song too, and thank you. Leads into, it was a great selection, leads right into what I'm preaching about too. Must have been overwhelming for Mary. How could she have known all that was going to be coming and all the amazing things that Jesus would do? And it's overwhelming for us sometimes to understand. But again, we just celebrated Jesus' birth. But what really was Jesus' M.O., his mission, his purpose? And it was this, that it would be to help transform us, but first taking us out of slavery, redeeming us, and then that we can also, by doing his work and the work of the Spirit of Christ in us, transforming us into children of God, heirs of God. And that's what the Galatian text is talking about. And there's something kind of confusing, too, in the beginning of that text. Galatians 4, verse 4. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law. And I wanted to talk a little bit about that. And in your sermon notes, you can see, too, that there were, I put in a couple other texts that kind of helped to expand this understanding. What does it mean, born under law? And I put there that it's an oppressive system. And you can see in those other texts from the previous chapter of Galatians where Paul had said, before the coming of this faith in Jesus, we were held in custody under the law. And then he says, too, for all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. Now, wait a second. How can a loving God put us under this oppressive system and under a curse? Well, the law is not the curse. The curse is death. Okay, so, and all who are under the law, under this system, are under the specter of death. But we were held in custody under the law. And it's kind of like a rebellious child, but so rebellious, so violent, becomes a danger to himself and to others. And this has happened too. Some parents have actually had to put their child under custody, right? And so they were put under the custody of the law, of the authorities. And that might sound so unloving. How could they do that? In order to protect the child from himself and from others, that child could even be placed under protective custody. And we can understand that, right? Well, God sometimes, well, and he imposed this system of law, which really was an oppressive system, just like when we're in custody, the kid can say, this is an oppressive system, right? But why? Because of sin, which is an even more horrific oppressive system. See, God's plan was not this. God's plan, and he created paradise, right? And when Adam, we started out with Adam and Eve, it was paradise. It was perfect. It was a perfect world. That was God's plan. But he gave us free will, and we, and I'm not just pawning it off on Adam. Ah, Adam and Eve, they chose this sin. Their fault. All of us. We have all chosen to sin. And by our choosing to sin, we have come under this oppressive system. It's so oppressive, it can literally be described as demonic. It is this demonic system that is so destructive and so horrific. And so many of us, we have come to understand the horror of sin. When sin is full-blown, goes full-bore, it can be so destructive, even to a demonic level. All sin is demonic, but on a spectrum, I mean, it can go so far. Even in the news, we've seen sin so horrific that children are walking into their schools fully loaded and shooting and killing other students and teachers. That would just be an example to the extreme. But when sin is just full-blown, it can be so brutal and so ugly. But others of us, we've had the experience of full-blown sin. When it manifests itself in an addiction, whether in us or in a loved one, when sin is full-blown, it can be so destructive. It can be the guy or the woman that walks out on the marriage in an adulterous relationship, and then the effects of that sin on the hearts, especially of the children, right? And sometimes indirectly, sin, this oppressive system of sin, we have seen how the results are death. I mean, ultimately, when Adam and Eve sinned, death came into the scene. And so living under that oppressive system, even the indirect result of sin can manifest itself in cancer, in Alzheimer's, in lupus, in diabetes. It's a system that leads to death, right? And these are all things that we struggle with, okay? God then, in the midst of all this, and especially at a time when we're talking way back in the Old Testament, when it literally talks about how everyone did what they thought, how does it say it in the Judges, according to how does it say it, the exact words, what they thought was good in their own eyes. Okay, it was a lawless society. Sin was rampant. And you can imagine what a lawless society would be like. Just pure chaos. And so God imposed law. He put this system of law over this lawless system, this chaos, in order to bring things under control. But that wasn't an end-all. And so just like the parent who, because of a rebellious child that is endangering himself and the others, has to impose to put this child in custody, it was not the final solution. You don't just take a kid like that, put him in custody, throw away the key and say, just rot there. That would not be love. And so that was not God's final plan, was to impose this system of law. Yes, it was an oppressive system. Okay? But his final plan was to bring about not just the redemption, the freeing, the bringing out of custody, but then doing a transformative work so that that boy, like Pinocchio, starting to turn into an ass, can have a transforming work and become again a child of God. That's what we're talking about here in Galatians. And so, Jesus was also born under the law, and yet he was not under sin. He was born sinless. At the one and the same time, he was fully human and yet fully God. And because he was fully God, he was not subject to sin like the rest of us. He did not have it in his DNA, all right? And so he did not have this pull by sin like the rest of us. But we have all chosen and jumped into sin, and so this destructive force, this demonic force, is even within us. And yet Christ came, point three, that we could be redeemed. Redeemed, so literally set free. So now think about a slave. And that is really what we are. That's the way the Bible describes us. We, at the beginning, were slaves, enslaved by sin. Christ came to set us free. And how do you do that? How do you free a slave? A price has to be paid. And so the price was Jesus' own blood. He died that we might be freed. That is love. That is the love of God to the extreme measure. And so Jesus redeemed us. He set us free, but He went even beyond freedom. Because if you can imagine then that child who's in custody, rebellious child, coming before the judge, and all the evidence is against him, and yet the judge pardons and sets free that kid. But he goes beyond that. The judge says, and this is what I want to do. I want to adopt you. And I want to bring you into my home, which happens to be a mansion. And I want to make you an heir. So it's not just that the God of the universe has freed us, but He goes way beyond freedom. And He says, you are now my child. I adopt you. And I bring you in. You are now my child, and you are an heir to my kingdom. So we are adopted. But all this would be great, and a slave can be freed, and that rebellious child can be free, but then free to do what? Free to just jump right back and be bad? Romans 6, Paul says, heavens no. Grace did not free us so that we could go on sinning, but because God puts His Spirit inside of us, see, being under law, we were under an oppressive system. It was an external force to control sin, but it didn't do anything inside to change my sinful heart, my tendency, my compulsion to sin. But what God has done is gone beyond freeing us. He has now put His Spirit into our hearts. It is now God inside of me, working inside of me to transform me so that no longer am I a slave to sin. I don't have to obey those desires. But it is now Christ in me, God in me, His Spirit in me, not only doing a transforming work, but helping me to will and to work for His good pleasure. And now I am free to truly be who God created me to be, His child, and to love. Because always before, under that sinful system, it was all about me. But now, it doesn't have to be. It's all about love. For God is love. And so Paul, kind of in that text, in those short verses, he starts to repeat himself a little bit, but he talks in verse 7 again. And he says, let me see it here. Where are we? So, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. Because through Him, everyone who believes is set free from every sin. Listen to this here. Point 6, that proof text in Acts 13:39. Through Jesus, everyone who believes is set free from every sin. Is there a sin that's hanging over you right now? Is there something that you have just been struggling with that just, it produces shame inside? Where are you at right now in regard to sin? Are you still under the oppressive system of sin? Did you walk in here, and now that I start talking about sin, does it just kindle feelings of shame and guilt? Here's the good news. Paul's words in Acts. Through Jesus, everyone who believes is set free from every sin. You can be set free. You can be redeemed. And it is a justification you were not able to obtain under the law of Moses. The law could not do this. This was not God's final system, was the law. But His final system was grace. And grace is that which frees us to become His child, His heir. And so God's words to you in Christ are, you are my beloved child, in whom I am well pleased. That beautiful words to hear. And at the end of it all, when we come before that judge, what is it you want to hear? You are condemned? Or do you want to hear, you are my beloved child, in whom I am well pleased. Welcome into my kingdom. So where are you at today? Which system are you living under? Are you living under the system of sin? Have you sensed its destructive forces? I don't think you'd be here. Anybody'd be here if they hadn't. We know what sin is, and we know how horrific it is. Are you still under the system of law? And many people in the church, large C, the church universal, but can be here in the local church too, sometimes we still live under the system of law. All of a sudden we live under this religious, ritualistic, legalistic system of good versus bad, right versus wrong. If I can do enough for God, then He'll accept me. That's not what it's about. All of our righteous acts are like filthy rags before God. None of us can ever, ever be good enough. So that legalist system does not work. It's all about grace. It's all about Christ and His work. His redemptive work on the cross is atoning work. And it is by grace we are saved through faith. It is not by works, so that no one can boast. So this is the ministry of Jesus. This is what He came to do, to free us, to redeem us, but also to make us, transform us into children of God, heirs of God, heirs to His kingdom. So if there's any doubt in your heart and mind this morning, where you're at with God, which system are you under? Are you still under sin? Are you still under law? Or are you under grace? Are you under Christ? If there's any doubt, I will encourage you. We've got the prayer warriors that meet in the back at the end of the worship service. Go and talk to one of them. Give me a call. Talk to me. Talk it through. If you truly want freedom, if you don't feel free, please come and talk to me. Come and talk to one of the leaders. We know what freedom is, and it's through Christ. And we would love to help you to get to that point of redemption and freedom. So come talk to us, all right? Good. Let's pray now. Heavenly Father, we praise You for the freedom that we have or can have in Christ. We praise You, Lord God, for Your redemptive work in Jesus Christ and for this opportunity that all of us have to be adopted by You, that we might be children of God, lavishly loved by You, and heirs to Your kingdom. Lord God, we confess that we, in our willfulness, chose to sin, and we separated ourselves from You, and we ran off with the bad boys. And yet we have seen the destructive force that sin is, and we have seen the consequences and felt it. Lord God, we just plead with You then to be gracious, to be merciful. But we thank You for Your amazing love. We thank You for that amazing strategic rescue plan in sending Your Son. What an amazing gift, Lord God, Your Son was and is to us. And we praise You and thank You for Your Holy Spirit working in us, transforming us. And we pray now for Your healing, Your freeing and redemptive power to minister to those in our church family and our loved ones who are struggling right now. Please create a strategic rescue plan for their lives, Lord God. So we pray for those specifically who are struggling and battling against cancer. We continue to pray for Tabitha and for John Hutchison and for Joe DeShepper and Linda Patton and Amanda's friend's mom and Sharon Wright and Maxine's grandson Dylan and for Pam Thompson's father and for Mary Matheson's baby and for Jason Hess and Randy. We just pray, Lord God, that as the great physician, you would do an amazing healing work in their lives. Lord God, we also pray for Greta Weiberg and her family after the passing of her sister Joyce a few days ago. We pray for them that in this time of grief, you may be their comfort and be their peace. And we want to pray for Margot Coyle as she undergoes tests and pray, Lord God, that the results would prove to be favorable. And be with Pam Thompson's dad, who on top of the cancer treatments now is struggling with shingles. Please, Lord God, be gracious and merciful to him. And we pray for Tyler, who is needing a kidney transplant, Lord God. And we want to continue to pray for Rich Ferry and his family and continue to work in his recovery and in his heart, Lord God, ministering your love and forgiveness in his heart. And be, Lord God, with Jane Peterson. She continues to have this recurring arm and neck pain from a pinched nerve. Lord God, we pray that your healing hand would be upon her. And be with Penny, too, who also is having severe pain, Lord God, and pray for relief and healing for her. And we want to continue to pray for Juanita's brother. Pray for Rick, Lord God, for the struggles, the health struggles he's been going through. Lord God, we also want to continue to pray for our older members. Thank you that Charlie Best is back after being under the weather, and continue to bless him and be with Marge Nelson and Lyle and Maureen Beresford and Betty Lindberg and June Riley and Johnny McDermott and Jean and Ellie Wildermuth. And continue, Lord God, to strengthen them, and may you be gracious. May your favor shine upon them. And Lord, continue to be watching over Travis Ferry and protecting him. And continue to be moving in and among us and in our church ministries, God, empowering us. So we pray for your blessings over the teenagers group and the men's group, especially with the men's breakfast coming up. Bless that time, Lord God, and bless our Sunday school classes, and especially the Allen's class starting next Sunday, and the children's Sunday school class, and all of our children's ministries and youth ministries, God. May your blessing be upon them and be upon Pastor Greg. Lord, continue to be with all of our MLT, our officers and deacons and elders, and continue to watch over and bless them and put a hedge of protection around them. And be with all of our missions and the outreach programs and the programs that are an extension of our church. Lord God, we continue to pray for Love Hope and Pastor Dwayne Brothers. Bless him and bless his ministry. And bless our friends, the Sears family in Costa Rica, and especially with Andrea, who's been having severe back problems and just had surgery. And we just pray, Lord God, that you would heal her and bless her. And be with the Restrepos in Oaxaca, Mexico, too. And bless their ministry, God. And bless their family. And Lord, continue to be with all those who serve in the military, and especially, Lord God, be with Joe Peterson. It's so good to see him and have him back home for a little while. But bless him. And bless Phil Estes, too, who leaves for basic training, leaving tomorrow. And just pray for him and his career in the Air Force. And bless all the leadership in Washington, Lord God. Continue to guide them towards truth and justice, righteousness and peace. Lord God, as we look out in this world that is so beset by sin and the manifestation that can be horrific at times, and we especially think of the severe unrest in the Middle East and with the threat of ISIS and the threat that always is looming over Israel, we just pray, Lord God, for you to be protecting those who are yours. Just a shield of protection that is your favor and your unfailing love upon them. And Lord God, we pray for all the persecuted Christians around the world. We pray that they would be refreshed through your word, and that despite their persecution and suffering, that their faith would continue to grow and thrive. Lord, we are so grateful for your love, and we are encouraged by your power. And so all these requests, our prayers, our concerns, and our anxieties, we cast them upon you, knowing that you care for us. So much so that you would send your Son to die for us. Yes, you care for us. Yes, you love us. And we love you so. And to you be all praise, honor, and glory. Amen.